God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We like to think that this is how we would pray. We like to think that we're this guy in the temple. He was a sinner and he knew it. There was no question in his mind that he needed mercy. He needed God to treat him leniently. The meaning of the word merciful is really pretty straightforward. It means to treat someone with mercy. It comes from the Greek word elaxomai, and according to Bauer's Greek lexicon or dictionary, it means to eliminate impediments that alienate the deity. Wow. It also means to cause to be favorably inclined or disposed towards someone, to be lenient towards someone, to turn a blind eye to the defaults of another, or to ignore those defaults, to treat one who deserves punishment as if they merited less punishment, to be lenient towards, to have mercy on someone means to not treat them as they should be treated, as their actions merit. The truth is, while we would like to think of ourselves as the guy who would go to the temple and pray, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner," so often Christians, unfortunately, so often Christians will stand and pray, if not in the forebrain, right here in front of their mind, way back in the back, they'll say, "I thank you, God, I'm not like those dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinners over there." Happens all the time. Christians get themselves into trouble when they look at themselves and look at somebody else and see a distance between them and themselves as behaving more like God would have them behave, and therefore saying, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like them. I'm not like thieves and rogues and adulterers, and certainly not like that IRS agent over there. I fast twice a week, and I tithe the tenth of my income. Look at me, God. Look how wonderful I am. Look at all the rules and regulations I obey. Look at all the things I do for others. Aren't I great?" Yeah, we do that. We think, maybe in the back of our brains, we think that because we do all these things and don't do these other things, we're pretty high standing with God. We're doing pretty good. We're able to approximate what God wants us to do, or at least what somebody has told us God wants us to do. We can get pretty close. We can do a whole lot better than others, and we can see that difference. And so we say, maybe in the back of our heads, we may not want to admit it ourselves, but back there somewhere, we're saying, "Oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like these other sinners." That word rogue is a fun word. It translates a word that can literally be rendered as crooked. I'm not a crook. I am not a rogue. The literal meaning of the word is not right, not correct, not going the way God would have me go. I thank God I'm not like those thieves and rogues, and certainly not like that tax collector. That's what's going through the back of many Christians' heads when they pray. Because we can't help but think that the things that we do and don't do, the life that we live and the good works that we do, somehow get us brownie points with God. When in reality, it's nothing that we have done, no good works that we have done, no obedience to the law that we have done, no recognition of a distance between ourselves and others, but rather our recognition of our distance from God. that tax collector knew. He knew deep down inside, because he was reminded of it repeatedly by all those holier-than-thou people there at the temple. He knew that he was in need of mercy. He knew he needed forgiveness. He knew he needed grace. He knew it in his bones. And so he stood there and beat his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was aware of the distance between himself and God. The Pharisee, the religious ruler of the day, this Pharisee, he seemed to be more interested in the distance between himself and the tax collector, or the rogues and the thieves and the adulterers. This tax collector was aware of the distance between himself and God. Sadly, so often Christians pay more attention to the distance between themselves and others, be they sinners or Christians or both, because they are both, friends. We pay more attention to the things that other people do that are wrong, and the things that we've done that ought to get brownie points with God, we think. Pay more attention to that than the distance, the unfathomable distance between us and God. That's one of the dangers of modern Protestantism. Wanting to think that we're all okay on one hand and all those sinners are horrible on the other, and missing the fact that all we like sheep have gone astray. Every single one of us, including this Pharisee and the tax collector and me and you and even these people back here. Who, us? Yes. We are all in need of mercy. I heard an amen. Thank you. There's a prayer in our hymnals. Now, we used to pray this every Communion Sunday. Up through 1968 and all the way up until about the mid to late 1970s, this was a prayer that was prayed every single Communion Sunday as part of the Communion liturgy. You'll find it on page 30 in your hymnals. It's called the Prayer of Humble Access, and it is very much contrary to this Pharisee's prayer. I hear you turning to it. I'll give you a moment. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life and grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Wow. This prayer was drafted into the Book of Common Prayer back in the 1500s in the Church of England. It's one of the earliest prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. It was handed down from generation to generation. John Wesley took it and put it in the Sunday service from the Church of England's communion service, so the Sunday service that he gave to the Methodists in America. It's been prayed by Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans, Episcopalians, and in 2013 was added to the Roman Catholic Rite. So our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers pray this prayer too. It's a powerful prayer. It reminds us that we do not trust in ourselves. We must not trust in ourselves because we can't. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. poor approximations at best, incomplete approximations at best of what God would have us do. Instead, we trust in God. We trust in His righteousness, in His love, in His forgiveness, in His mercy, not in our own selves. We pay attention not to the distance between us and others, but rather to the distance between us and God. And that only God can bridge the gap that our sins have dug between us and the Father. Only God in Jesus Christ our Lord can bridge the gap between us and God. And only through Christ can we return to God. If we trust in ourselves, we're like this Pharisee, bragging about his own accomplishments and being thankful that he's not like these other sinners. But if we trust in God, we'll be like the tax collector who recognized the distance, asked, begged, pleaded for mercy, and went home forgiven, went home justified, went home in a repaired relationship with God. The Pharisee still had as much distance between him and God as he had when he went into that temple. The tax collector was remembered to, repaired to, brought back into a right relationship with God. Not for any of his works, but simply for recognizing that the source of his righteousness, the source of his mercy, the source of his eternal life is God. For recognizing the distance between himself and God, God reduced that distance and brought him back into relationship with him. That is what we must do. We must recognize the distance between us and God, not us and each other. One of the biggest problems with church fights, be it local church fights or denominational church fights, is that both sides and all sides get stuck into the position of the Pharisee thinking, I thank my God I'm not like those others. When in reality, we should be recognizing that we are all sinners. We are all in need of mercy. We are all in need of grace. We're all in need of a new and a right relationship with God. And when we have that relationship with God, when God gives us mercy, when God pours out His grace on us, when God forgives us, then we can be in a better and right relationship with each other. May we recognize the distance between us and God, and that righteousness comes only from God. And may we thank God, not for the distance between us and others, not for all the things that we've done or haven't done, but may we thank God for the love that we have in Jesus Christ, who came to live among us, who taught us the love of God, who expressed the love of God through words and deeds, who healed through the love of God so many, and who stretched out his arms on the heart of the cross and showed forth the love of God for all by dying there, that we might not fear death, that our sins might be forgiven, that God's mercy might be known and received and shared with others. And then may we celebrate in his resurrection, knowing that in his life, we have life eternal. May we be like that tax collector, like that IRS agent, like the thieves and the rogues and adulterers who nevertheless recognize the distance between themselves and God and know to ask for mercy, for forgiveness, for grace. May we be made right with God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.